We welcome you again to our special teachings on revival, our revival series. And as a reminder, we have been looking at a number of things that we need to uproot from our lives in order that the Lord Himself may have hearts that are ready to be His dwelling place. And it is actually when He has such qualified hearts that He will be able to come in, stay within, and begin to use such a person to do exploit for Himself. We have, in the course of this series, looked at freedom from all sin, freedom from all love of self, freedom from all love of the world, freedom from all falsehood, freedom from all sexual immorality. We have equally looked at freedom from all gain, freedom from a divided heart, freedom from self-centeredness, and in our last teaching on this series, we looked at freedom from debt. And as a reminder, as we did last week also, we are actually talking to those who have surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and who need to have these things uprooted. When a person has not yet given his life to the Lord, he is not yet born into the kingdom of God. Even if he listens to such teachings, he may be trying to imitate Christians, imitate believers, and trying to live the life of a believer when he has not yet become a believer. He will just be trying to imitate, but he needs, first of all, an inner transformation when he is born into the kingdom of God. He is giving a new heart, and that new heart is what is able to produce a new life. And that's what to be born again is. To be born again means that the old heart has been taken away. The Lord said, I will give you a new heart. I will take from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And when that has happened, as we saw last week, the person will know a time of refreshing. There will be a new desire for God, a new passion for God, a new freshness. That desert life in his life disappears and something begins to take place, a passion for God. That which was a burden to him will become a delight. Before, he did not want to be in the presence of God, but now he wants to be in the presence of God. Before, he did not want to read the word of God, the word of God will become sweeter and sweeter to him. And without this transformation, listening to a message like this will only produce a religious man that for some time, just as a moralist, for some time, he will abandon his Christianity, so-called Christianity. In our message today, we are looking at freedom from greed. Freedom from greed. And it is a stronghold in many people's lives that have ruined them and transformed them to become slaves of material possession. So we are looking at freedom from greed. We will start this sharing with a passage from the book of Luke chapter 12. If you open with us the book of Luke chapter 12, we will look at a story from that book in order to know what is greed. Luke chapter 12 from verse 13. Let's read it together. Jesus was teaching somewhere, and then someone in the crowd spoke. From verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge and arbiter between you?" Then he said to him, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession." In another version, he said, the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of what he has. So the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. Can you imagine a big crowd? Then somebody in the crowd shouted, "Master, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." The father had died, and this man was in this meeting. There was only one thing that was burning on his heart: inheritance, inheritance. So whatever Jesus was teaching meant nothing to him. And that's what a life that is full of greed is. A mad passion for things in the heart. All the time you are thinking about money. All the time you are thinking about houses. All the time you are thinking about cars. All the time you are thinking about a new, more land, more buildings, good sums of money in your account. Your life is not ruled by a relationship with God. Your life is ruled by things. So Jesus told the man, he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard." And he told him, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." And he told him, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he has." Then he told them a parable. From verse 16, he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I am going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will store up my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Let's look at verse 20 together. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who will get what you have stored for yourself?'" 21, he said, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for himself, but is not with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." So this man had a passion. My father's property must be shared. I need my own part. To the extent that no amount, whatever teaching was going on, he had no part in it. Just like many people today, they go to church. If you are talking about anything, the only thing that excites them is how to get more and more things, more and more things. If you say, "Let's pray so that you get well," oh, they are excited. But let's pray so that people will know this intimate relationship with God. It is disgusting to them. Jesus said, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." There are kinds of greed. And he told them, "This is how it will be with a man who has accumulated things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Accumulated a lot of possession for yourself. And that's the greatest trap of many people in the world today. And even many children of God, if there is anything that has to do with God, there's no desire to read the word, no desire to spend more time with God in prayer, no desire to withdraw to be alone with God in order to have a retreat alone with God, no desire even to fellowship with the children of God, but the slightest opportunity to make wealth, accumulate more land, accumulate more this, oh, there is always time. No time for God, but a lot of time to make gain. They are trapped in the God called greed. There's a passion for things. They want to accumulate things. They can even abandon service, abandon the time they ought to be with God, just to go and run here and there in order to make money. He said, "This is how it will be for anyone who has accumulated things for himself, but is not rich towards God." So greed is the accumulation of things, a mad desire to accumulate things, a mad desire to accumulate money, a mad desire to have material wealth, a mad desire in order to have things, land or cars, have all the houses, but there is no mad desire to build your relationship with God.
Their relationship with God is so poor, but materially they have accumulated and accumulated and accumulated. There's no limit to how many dresses they should have. There's no limit to how many pairs of shoes. Like one of the president's wives somewhere, when they counted the pair of shoes that he had, 1,000 pairs of shoes. What will you do with 1,000 pairs of shoes? This mad desire that has ruined many families, so that you have a father, there is no time spent with the children. He is running all over the place. Some people have 3 jobs. They run here to do this job, run here to this, but there is no single minute being spent with the children. So that the children see the parent early in the morning, and that is all. Because the parent come back very late, and by the time they come back, the children are asleep. No time spent with their children, because they have fallen into the trap of, I want this, I want this, I want this. You have people who are married. Someone is working, has a job in another nation. Another one has in another continent. But just because they are tempted, there is this big job, an international job, it will bring in a lot of money. A lot of money for what, when you are ruining the family? And they will tell you they are accumulating wealth for them in order to ensure that their children will have a better future. What future will your children have when you have destroyed their future already? It is not the money their children are looking for. It is you, the father. It is you, the mother. Unfortunately, your children are being raised up by a maid somewhere, and a maid whose morality may even have been ruined. And your children are being introduced into what they will never have known if you gave them time. The passion for things. It is an intense and selfish desire for wealth. It is a manifestation of a heart that is sick. It is a manifestation. The Bible actually says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, that greed is idolatry. It is an idol upon the heart, fighting to take the place of God. We don't know whether that is your heart. If you were actually asked, why do you want to have all those possessions? You are laboring. You have houses all over. And sometimes you don't even know how many houses you have. And if they were to ask you, why do you want to have more? You are not laboring because you need them. Your answer may be because other people have. And that's one of the manifestations of greed, a comparison spirit. You want to outclass others. You want to accumulate in order to have more than others. It's a greedy heart. It's a greedy heart. It is greed that makes people, in order to destroy their relationship with God. They can put God aside as far as they can run to get some material possession. No time with God, always time for their jobs, always time for their business, always time to make more money, and there is no single minute being spent with God. They neglect their relationship with God. Remember, Jesus said, this is how it will be. This man said, I don't have where to store. I'm going to break this and build bigger barns and store my wealth. And Jesus told him, hey, man, in the parable, God told the man, today I require your life. He said, this is how it will be for any man who is rich in the material things of this world, but is not rich towards God. Are you richer in your relationship with God, or you are richer in your possession? Are you richer in building? Do you give more time to God, or you give more time running here, running here, running here? Accumulating that which may never benefit you in any way. How much time do you give to your children? How much time do you give to your family? How much time do you give to your God? How much time do you even give to yourself? You are wearing yourself down. Can you imagine a man who has 20 cars? What are you doing with all those cars? You have 100 houses all over. What are you doing with them? Yet you cannot have time and even just give 5 minutes in order to have the time with God. Most people don't have a family again. in fact, their family are those houses. It is greed that makes people so insensitive. They become so insensitive that they go around grabbing people's land. You get someone who has so many land, yet he will go around doing everything to grab the tiny piece of land that somebody's father died and he inherited. The land of widows are being taken away just because people are in position of authority, prominent position. They do everything to seize the land of others. That is what is called greed. They have a greedy heart. It is greed that makes people to take decisions. When they are in position of authority, they take decisions that always benefit them materially. Decision to increase their salary. Can you imagine a person working in an organization and his salary alone is able to pay the salary of 100 people in that organization just because it was his right? He could take the decision to decide how much salary he should be paid, and with the immediate colleagues, but those people down there who are actually the one working to ensure that the organization succeeds, they are earning peanuts. Some are not even able to survive to feed themselves. It is greed that makes you to take decision that only see things about your own advantages and does not think about the advantages of those around you. It's a greedy heart. Just imagine your 1 hour salary may be enough to pay the salary of your driver, pay the salary of your cook, pay the salary of your security person. What a life. What type of life is that? That's called a greedy heart. It's a greedy heart. It is greed that makes political leaders to take decisions in order to allocate to themselves huge sums of money in times of crisis. Nations are being ruined by flood, ruined by pests, ruined by diseases, and you see political leaders taking decisions to allocate themselves huge sums of money. It is called greed. It is called greed. It is called greed. When a man in privileged position always take a decision that will bring him more material gain, and he become blind to the immediate need of others, he has a greedy heart. Greedy people, they work in an office. You are in an office, you are in a hospital, you are in a particular place, but you swindle all the possession, all the money, all that was allocated to run the budget to benefit the nation that become your property, so that you may be earning $1,000, but you have 100 houses. Could your $1,000 have built you all just 100 houses? You have a greedy heart. You have a greedy heart. One of the manifestations of greed is gluttony. You are eating and eating. You actually eat above what you need. That is why after a time you become obese, putting on excessive weight, not because of a particular genetic problem, but because you are eating too much. That extra food that you are eating, it was meant to be for another person in your immediate environment, but you cannot even permit somebody to come and pick, just like Lazarus, who went and picked from under the table of a rich man. For you, no one can ever come, even to eat of your remains. That is called a greedy heart. It is greed that makes people to go to the table. You are serving your own food. You serve the food, but you take too much that after eating, you go and throw it, you throw the excess. Nobody served you the food. You are the one who did it because you wanted more. You wanted this. You wanted this. It is greed. Polygamy is greed. Greed for more and more women. And to do what with the women? To make them your property so that you can boast. You can rule them. It is greed. That was the type of greed that Solomon had, so that at one point in time, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. And it is the same Solomon who made gold in Jerusalem to be as common as stone. Money, gold that was supposed to be used to worship God, he made it in such a way that people started coming from other nations just to come and look at the possession, the wealth of Solomon. That was different from the life of his father called David. David canalized his wealth in a purposeful way to build the temple of God. But Solomon used it to make what will draw attention to himself. And that is what greed is. Greed is accumulating to make a name for yourself. It may be the holding of properties. It may be the accumulation of clothing, the accumulation of dresses, of houses, of cars, etc., just to make a name for yourself. It is not because you need them. It is because you are sick. You think that it is by the having of many cars. It is not by the number of cars that gives you a name. It is what you have done with your wealth. Who are the poor who can think about you and begin to worship God? Who are the orphans who can be able to say, if it were not you, I would not be who I am today? Who are the widows that you have given them hope just because of your wealth? It is not those cars, it is not those houses that you have that makes you a name, gives you a name. The multiplication of houses, so what we are actually saying is that your greatness is not because of those cars. Actually, the multitude of your cars actually spells out one thing. If you did not labor to have them, you stole them from your office, it's actually a declaration that look at that thief. It does not make you great. Those houses that you have seized, those land that you have seized from people does not give you a great name. It only shows your wickedness, that you are a greedy person. So a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. People will look at you and then they will say, "How, what a great person you are." Why don't you ask yourself, when God looks at you, what is God saying about you? The greatness of a man is not what his possession says. It is, what have you used your possession to do? What have you used your wealth to do? What have you used that privileged position? All in your office, all around you, are people from your family members, so that together you can team up to swindle the wealth of the nation. Who has benefited because you were lifted to such a position of authority? A greedy heart. Greedy people have so many clothing to the extent that they don't know when they last wore a particular one. It is now 3 years. You have not worn a particular pair of shoe to tell you that you don't need it. 20 cars, 30 cars, totally no reason why you need them. There are many biblical examples of greedy people. An example is Balaam, a prophet. He knew that God does not want him to go somewhere, but because people has the king who sent to call him suggested, "I am going to increase the money. I will give you, reward you more." Somebody who can disobey God to go after wealth, to go after benefit, has a greedy heart. Let's look at the dangers of greed. Because we should be asking, after all, if I'm greedy, so what? If you are greedy, there are dangers. Let's just look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. A greedy person ruins his life. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 19. Such are the pathway of all who go after ill-gotten gains. It takes away the life of those who get it. You want to accumulate, you want to accumulate, you want to accumulate. You may say that you really labored for it. The abundance, the excess that you have are not meant for you. They are meant, God gave you so that you will reach out to the needy. You will reach out to the poor with them. Those who have go after ill-gotten gains, they end up ruining their lives. Greed will ruin a man's family. Greed will ruin a man's family. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. The book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribe will live. So if you are greedy, You have decided to ruin the future of your children. You have decided to ruin your family. So greed is something very, very dangerous. It will ruin your life. If you are greedy, you will ruin your relationship with God. Greed will ruin your relationship with God. Let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Just imagine what the Bible says we should be content. Food and clothing. Verse 9 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people eager for money, and that's what greed is, eager for land, eager for money, eager, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So greed will make you to lose God. It will make you to pierce your heart with many sorrows. It will make you to destroy your relationship with God. Nobody who has a greedy heart has ever known contentment. Greed makes you to become a slave. There's no time to rest. The whole night, even in your dream, you are dreaming about money. You jump in the next day. You are rushing here and there after one deal or the other. And you never sit down and ask yourself, if God were to call me home now, if God were to call me home now, what will happen to me? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is meaningless. A meaningless life, the love of money, the love of wealth, you are never satisfied. All the time, my boss, when will you increase my salary? All the time it is, increase my salary. You want more. You are never satisfied. A life that does not know satisfaction is a slave. You are a slave to things. Greed means that you have become a slave. Greed also means that you cannot truly take care of people. In the pastoral ministry, you cannot be a true pastor because you are constantly asking, what will I gain from this person? If I do this to him, what will I gain? Just look at 1 Peter chapter 5, the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. You cannot be a true leader if you are a greedy person. Unfortunately, there are many people who are greedy, who seem to say they are in leadership position. That is why you end up ruining the life of the people around you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Peter said, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain. Taking care of God's people in a willing way, not because you want to gain out of them. So that somebody must need to pay before he books an appointment, he sees you. So that even the poor that are around you, you never give them time because you are asking, you are getting what from them. The gain you are getting from them is that God has given them to you to take care of. That is enough gain. Anybody who has something to do for God, that is gain. That is gain. What does greed do? The danger of greed is that it brings division. When you have a greedy heart, wherever you are, there is dissension, there is faction around you because everything around you is not centered on being a blessing to people. Everything around you is centered. You lift your eyes from people and you focus your eyes on things. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 28. We are saying that a greedy heart will always bring division wherever he goes. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. The greatest state of conflict. Those who are greedy, they bring conflict. Wherever, the conflict in that office, conflict in that neighborhood, conflict, conflict, conflict. Why? Because you want to benefit. And greed does not just talk about material things. There's greed for power. Look at all the fightings around. No one, there are very few people, less than 1% of people enter politics for the sake of the people they are entering politics for. They will tell you that I am going there to serve my people. No, it's a lie. They are going there to serve their stomach and to serve their family. They have greedy heart. That is why they will kill to be elected and they will kill to remain in that position. If you were going for the sake of others, why will you go? Why will you kill? Why will you someone fight to shed blood in order to be elected? Look at the division in nations. Look at the enmity just because of politics. So a person with a greedy heart, he stirs up conflict. Look at all the fight, all the strife, all the fighting all over. Greedy heart. People want to do everything to stay in position of power, to make a name for themselves. Because greed has to talk about the passion for power, passion for wealth, passion for houses, passion for a name, passion for this. You just want to make a name. That's why you can damage the name of every other person. You can destroy every other person's name in order to make a name for yourself because you have a greedy heart. Punishment awaits anybody who is greedy. Let's look at James chapter 5. If you are greedy, one day you will be punished. The book of James chapter 5. From verse 1 to 6. He said, now listen, you rich people. He said, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted. Get it? How does wealth get rotten? Because you have accumulated, your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you fail to pay the workers who mowed your field are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent who was not opposing you. This is actually the description of greedy people. You are wealth, you are clothing. Some of them you have not worn until they are now being eaten by moth. Your money has piled until it fermented. That which even your clothing, your food, everything about you that you ought to have used to reach out to others, you have kept and kept and kept. And some of them have actually shown themselves by some of the diseases that you may start having. One of the diseases of the rich people. Always heart attacks, excessive wealth. Meanwhile, there is somebody somewhere becoming thinner and thinner because the excess weight that you have is the weight that you ought to be having. What will you say to the Lord on that day? So punishment is awaiting any greedy person. You will give account of all the wealth that God put into your hands, that he actually have chosen you and made you wealthy in order that your wealth will be used to bless others. Look at the many people who are needy. Why don't you use your wealth to be a blessing to them? What are the dangers of greed? Greed weighs you down. It weighs you out. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 to 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust yourself. Do not trust your own cleverness.
cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly up to the sky like an eagle. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. That's what the Bible says. So you can get worn out, so that after a time, your blood pressure shoots up, because you are always thinking there's no time to reflect. This no time. This intimacy with God. No time even to worship the God who gave you the wealth. There is a lot of time to worship the thing that God has given to you, but the giver is not being worshipped. So there are dangers for anybody who has a greedy heart. We have said that greed is a mad passion to have material possession, mad passion to have wealth, mad passion, an intense desire for power, an intense desire for a name, an intense desire for pleasure, etc. And we have said greed is idolatry. Every greedy person is worshiping an idol. God has been pushed out of his heart. The goal of the sharing is to see how can we know freedom from greed? How can we know freedom? Because will God come and stay in a greedy heart? Will God come and stay in this idolatrous heart? No. If a person will know freedom from greed, the first thing he needs to do is to acknowledge that greed is idolatry. And being an idolater, you are fighting God. Acknowledge that you have an idol on your heart. That something is competing with God on your heart. Just be honest with yourself. This is not something you are not discussing, because it is your conscience that is speaking to you. Just acknowledge before God, God, when it has to do with money and it has to do with you, my heart always goes after money. When it has to do with a big job somewhere and in doing something for you somewhere, my heart always goes after that big job. All my decision is tied to what will I gain, and never how, what will people gain from me. Just sit down and acknowledge that there's an idol on your heart. And that idol makes you to be fighting against God. After you acknowledge that there is an idol on your heart, repent. Is there an idol, a mad desire for houses? So you are just building, you are just building, you are just building, you are just building. Even when you ought to be worshiping God somewhere, you are there at the side, supervising. And then people are building for you. Those who ought even to have gone to worship God, you have called them, they have come concentrated to be building for you while you are there supervising. You have abandoned God and you have recruited others to abandon God. Repent of the idol, the mad passion for buildings, the mad passion for clothing. What do you want to do with 100 dresses? What are you doing with 100 dresses? What are you doing with 100 pair of shoes? What are you doing with 20 cars? Repent. Tell yourself, tell God, God, this thing have come into my heart and I am worshiping cars. Every new brand, you run after it. You run after it. You run after it. You need to repent. Is it a mad passion for clothing? Is it a mad passion for a name? Is it a mad passion for power? Is it what passion has gripped your heart? Repent of them one by one. Then commit yourself that you will seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Decide that you will seek God's kingdom. And that's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God. Your priority before was after money, after land, after houses, after jobs. You are always looking. All the advertisement about land, you are there. All the advertisement about new job, you are there. You have changed jobs. Maybe you may even be 30, but you have changed jobs about 10 times already. Because your passion is money. You are not asking, how can I be of service to humanity? Commit yourself that the first passion of your heart, you will seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness.
Begin to invest sacrificially. Why not begin to transfer your wealth? Use your wealth. Give out in order that the work of God may be done. Give out to enrich yourself. What you give in this world, you will meet it again in the world to come. Give to make a place, to make a name for yourself in that world, that where you will be going. Begin to invest in God's interests. Begin to invest in those who are serving God. Give generously. Give out generously. One of the cure of greed, before you were always waiting to receive, now do the opposite. Before you could not give generously, now give out. Before somebody need to come and beg you before you can even give whatever, even your own family members, now beg people to receive from you. Do the opposite of what you were doing before. Give sacrificially to the needy. Set out and give sacrificially to those who are needy. And anybody who is looking for needy person, you do not need to go a kilometer before you find them. If you rise where you are now and just look outside, you will see many needy people. And those needy people are those that God has given you wealth to invest into their life in order that he will give you a crown in the world to come. We saw in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. You need to tell God, God, I want to be godly. If there is any sin in your life, repent and cry out to God that you will be contented. You will be satisfied. You have food and clothing. Be satisfied. Become contented. Cry out to God that you will become a contented person. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, if you want to know freedom from greed, you need to flee. You need to flee. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, we'll start actually from verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from their faith. And I think you don't want to wander. You don't want to be a backslider. You don't want to become an atheist. They have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. I don't think you want to pierce your heart with sorrows. But there is something you should do. Verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He said, you man of God. So if you will know freedom from greed, you need to flee. When people are coming, let's go, let's rush, come there. There are better jobs. Tell yourself, look, I will not do it. Don't be a slave running all over the place. And for what reason? Not because you are running in order to fulfill the call of God for your life. Not because you are running to be in the center of God's will. You are being ruled by money, being ruled by wealth, being ruled by power, being ruled by the desire to outclass others. Just tell yourself, when they invite me for that, I will flee. Paul told Timothy, you man of God, you are different. You are a different person. And God is telling you, you are different. You are different. Our future does not consist in the abundance of what we have. We came into this world, we brought nothing, and we will go away with nothing. It is not that we should not be rich. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that nothing should ever distract us from following the Lord. Nothing should compete with God. God should take the first place. And even when God has blessed us, that wealth should not draw us away from God. Set out to give and give and give. Set out to give to enrich people. Beg to give to people. That's one of the ways to do what you must do to be free from greed. The Bible says, he that sow abundantly, we also reap if you sow generously, you reap abundantly. If you give out in a generous way, give to enrich people. That's a generous giver. Give to make people rich. When Zacchaeus gave his life to the Lord, people were complaining about Jesus. He said, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner.
Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. What was he saying? He was saying, I know why people are complaining against me. I will never give anything to them in the past. Think about the rich young ruler. This young man came to the Lord and said, Master, he wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him, you know the commandments. Do them. He said, I have done it ever since I was young. Then Jesus told him one thing. Then go sell all that you have. He give to the poor. Come follow me. And you inherit great wealth in the world to come. The Bible said the rich man went away sad because he had great wealth. Are you the type of person that each time somebody is talking and start touching about your wealth, your face becomes sad? If you are told today, go and sell everything and give for and follow the Lord, will you do it? What you will not do, if you will not do it, then what you will not give away is called your God. Your God is that person that you can sacrifice everything, anything for. Are you ready to say, I let go this in order that I may be able to follow the Lord with all my heart? Have wealth, but don't let wealth rule you. So we are saying there are dangers of greed. We are equally saying it is possible to be free from greed, and you should set out to be free from greed. After you have uprooted, repented, and begged God for that contented heart, one of the things you need to do, ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit and that you will know a spiritual overflow and live every day in that spiritual overflow and set out looking forward to the world to come and begin to live in this world serving the one that one day you will meet. Use everything, all that you have, all that you are, in order to serve the one who paid the price and laid down his life to serve you from the perdition that you are going to land into. You were rescued in order that you may live for him. Let it be that you tell the Lord, Lord, you rescued me. Now I and all that I have will belong to you. Anyone who has laid his all on the altar, separated himself from all that he is, all that he will ever be, separated himself from sin, from self, because greed is selfishness. It's a manifestation of a selfish heart, of a loveless heart, of an insensitive heart who does not care about the multitude of people who are suffering. A person who wants to be free from greed should lay his life on the altar and tell the Lord, take my life, O Lord, and let it be consecrated, O Lord. Let my life be given to serve you. Let my life be given to be a blessing to man. O Lord, show me the next person that if you are here physically, you will be reaching out to, you will be giving out to. O God, show me somebody who has been praying that you will answer his prayer materially, that I will be an instrument that you will use. Why don't you just decide that you will be a co-worker together with God? As people are praying that God will meet their need, God is directing you physically in this world to go and meet their need. You have become a representative of the Lord. If your wealth is released into the hands of God, your heart will never be attached to material things again. Use your position to serve God. Use your name to serve God. Use whatever has been given into your hand, the money, the car, all that have been given into your hand, those houses, those pieces of land, decide that everything laid on the altar and you use all your possession to serve the Lord, you will never know greed. You have become a servant of the Lord. And flee from whatever want to draw you back to that life of idolatry. You can be set free from the life of greed, and you can live a selfless life to be a blessing to multitude and an instrument in the hands of the Lord. May the Lord bless you as you lay your life on the altar, and may the Lord bless you as you separate your heart from those things that enslaved you in the past. And may God bless you as you know this life of contentment, telling the Lord, with my food and clothing, that's enough. And the wealth you give into my hands, I will never worship it. I worship the giver. I don't worship the gift. May the Lord bless you.